The Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight will come to order. Today, our agenda is limited to confirmation hearings for 4 members of the Metropolitan Council and 2 members of the Minnesota Racing Commission. We members have the background papers on the members in their packets. If you want to get them out, we'll invite them to share to come to the witness table.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chair, if you would, welcome to the committee. If you'd just give us a little bit of background, your experience on the Met Council, and I can tell you that we are interested especially in what your views are on the transportation bill that passed, and in particular, Met Council's reaction and your, where you land on support for transit. And we're going to be asking each of you about that.
Madam Chair, thank you. I've been on the council for 16 years now, appointed by Governors Cui, Carlson, and Plenty. I keep coming back, and they keep accepting me back, my application, when I get a chance. And I very much like the work. I'm on the Transportation Committee and on the Environmental Services and Chairman of the Management Committee. Chairman of the Management Committee, we've saved a lot of money for the taxpayers, the ratepayers in the state of Minnesota. I think about, we calculated up about $500 million. So we think that's a marked improvement. Frankly, I was not at odds with the transportation bill. I had told the governor many times that my business, my sons, buy gas by the tanker, and the couple cents a gallon doesn't make any difference when you're thinking of trucks stuck in rush hour traffic and truck drivers late either to get to the job or late to get home to go play ball with their kids or whatever it is. So I had no problem with that, and I've expressed that to the governor. And you have another specific
about support for transit in the metropolitan area.
Well, I have been. I voted for the Central Corridor proposition. I think it's it has some problems, and I hope the university comes along. I would like to see, in particular, there are 3 turns, right-angle turns in the Central Corridor line. 2 of them right below the Capitol here, down on Cedar, that are 90-degree turns, and the radius on those turns is about 110 feet. The minimum allowed is 90 feet. It's going to make a lot of squealing down here, and I'd like to go on record, let you know that, because it's going to be noisy. It also creates a lot of wear and tear on the carriages, on the undercarriages, and on the rails, and they'll have to be replaced from time to time. It's an expensive proposition. First while, they're covered by warranty. Warranties go off after a while, we'll have to pay for them. And that's going to be an expensive deal. So those are my questions.
Any other questions or comments for Mr. Scherer, Senator Betzel?
Madam Chair, I'm interested not only from Commissioner Scherer, but the other appointments to the council as we're hearing them, about what kind of working relationships you have maybe with some of the communities within your district, the city council members, the county commissioners,
well,
and so forth, legislators.
Thank you very much, Senator Betzel. I work quite closely with the communities, and I get around to see them on a regular basis. Last night, I went out to a meeting of the Northwest Hennepin County League of Municipalities, about 6 or 7 delegates from that get together and talk about affairs in their communities, and I go out there and tell them about the Metropolitan Council. And I get there a few times a year. I have some conflicts, so I don't make them all the time, but I do get out there, and I get around to city council meetings. I think it's important that we work with the city councils. And you got to understand that in these changing communities, in towns like Dayton, Hassan, Rogers, these growing communities, you have very much of a dichotomy between the old farmers who want to sell their farms or who have one vision for what's going to happen to the property there and their government, and the others, the new arrivals who want it to stay just exactly the way it is when they came. And so they have this thing that they have to work out, and it's happened all over. It happened in Golden Valley years ago and New Hope years ago. And it's going to continue to happen, and so growth comes, and people resist it, and other people encourage it, and they work out that. What we try to do is work with them so when they do, as they do grow, they grow within our framework and within our framework, so it's efficient as possible, so it works, so the system works, as you have told us to do. That's what we're here for.
Any further questions? Senator Betzold?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll move the appointment of Roger Scherer to the Metropolitan Council be recommended to the Senate for confirmation.
Senator Betzold moves that the committee recommend that the appointment of Roger Scherer to the Metropolitan Council be confirmed. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Scherer. Next, we'll hear from Mary Hill Smith, the appointment, governor's appointment to the District 3. And welcome to the committee. If you would give us a little bit of your background, and you've heard at least the three areas that we're interested in knowing about, the your views on the transportation bill, your views on transit, and then the kinds of things you've done to keep in touch with your legislative members and your community contacts with city councils and county members and so forth.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members, and thank you for having us up here. I'm Mary Hill Smith. I'm in my 16th year on the Metropolitan Council. I was first appointed January 1st of 1993. By Governor Carlson, and I stayed on through his term and then continued under Governor Ventura and now under Governor Paul Lente. And I chair the Transportation Committee and have almost all of the time that I've been on the Metropolitan Council. I also serve on the Management Committee, and I have been a big supporter of transportation and transit since I first came on the council. One of my biggest pleasures is the fact that we were able to open Hiawatha on time and on budget. I am a supporter of Central Corridor. I serve on the Central Corridor Management Committee along with our chair and community representatives. And I hope before too long we'll also be talking about Southwest LRT. When that first came forth, I'll have to say, there was not a lot of support for LRT down towards the Southwest from the community members. There was a Trails No Rails committee, but after several years of talking and the leadership from Hennepin County, that is coming along, and I think everybody, including all the legislators from that area, want LRT. It looks like rail is going to be a successful part of our multimodal system in the metropolitan area, and I'm pleased to know that. I want to particularly thank the chair for her help in getting the UPA Urban Partnership Award to our region. You may have heard that New York was also one of the four cities, and they did not get approval in time. They did not get their legislative approval in time, and within hours, their $374 million were taken away. And I heard last night have been given to Los Angeles and Chicago. So we squeaked in there just in time with the help of your leadership.
It was too close.
It was very close. We appreciate it. And it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to do a number of things, including work on I-35. We're going to We construct a street in downtown Minneapolis, which is going to be an interesting challenge to do between now and September, but I think we're ready for it. The parking lots have been the single most important thing in encouraging transit in this region. We learned from the opt-outs that parking lots work. If you have a parking lot and people can easily access it and get into their place of business, then they work. And so now the Metropolitan Council is also partly with this urban partnership money able to put some parking lots in places like Rosedale and Lakeville and further up in Blaine. So it's really an exciting opportunity. Our transit ridership is up this year to date 1.8 million rides over last year. We are 7%, slightly over 7% ahead of our ridership from last year.
Isn't that a trend across the country in metropolitan areas?
Yes, but we were named one of the three most rapidly growing transit systems in the country. So, you know, gasoline has made an effect, but also it takes some, you have to have the service there for people to take advantage of it. And we are really working. I'm very proud of our Go Green program. We started out with B5 fuel. Actually, we started out with B2, that's biodiesel fuel. We moved that up to 5, then to 10, and we're now at 20%. And I think we're probably ahead of any of the other transit systems in the nation on our Go Green effort. So I'm quite proud of that. As far as the transportation bill, I did support it. I've been around long enough to know that we had not had a gas increase since 1988, and our roads showed it. And I appreciate the extra money that transportation got by increasing our part of the pie of the MVEST money, even though MVEST money is shrinking right now, so we have a larger piece of a smaller pie. Hopefully that will change over years. And I work very closely with my communities. As a matter of fact, I was a little bit embarrassed last week because I got a telephone call from the city of Mound, and they wanted to give me a certificate of commendation for the work that I had helped them with getting some grants to reconfigure how their city was. And I said, you're not supposed to be giving me, that's my job. I'm supposed to be helping you. Mm-hmm. So the same thing, we've had some wonderful work out in Long Lake. Long Lake, as you may know, has Highway 12 going through it. And the MnDOT had to take quite a bit of property as they went through Long Lake. And it divided their community. And they're having a struggle to see how they're going to re-put things back together. So we've given them some planning grants, and we're working with them. Also, because my cities are mostly around Lake Minnetonka, I represent District 3, which includes Hopkins, Eden Prairie, and 12 of the cities around Lake Minnetonka. Only Minnetrista is not in my district. But these are small cities, and we have the law now that every 10 years you have to update your comp plan. And, you know, these small cities, they don't have the money that the Minnetonkas and the Bloomingtons and Minneapolis and St. Paul have. And so it's a struggle for them. So we have really worked to have our staff help these small cities do what they can and not have to incur large expenses. And I'm proud of my work there.
Thank you very much. Are there questions or comments? Senator Green.
Just a comment. I'm going to give you an A+ for using biodiesel. I think that is the fuel of the future. I'm glad that you stepped ahead and are willing to accept that.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Chappas?
Oh, Madam Chair, thank you. I would move that the committee recommend the appointment of Mary Hill Smith to the Metropolitan Council.
Discussion? Senator Pampas has moved that the committee recommend that the appointment of Mary Hill Smith to the Metropolitan Council be confirmed. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now proceed to Chris Sanda. Ms. Lepic is due to arrive in about 15 minutes, so we'll come back to her confirmation. Welcome to the committee. You've heard the concerns that we've raised. If you give us a little bit of your background in the council and public service, and then be responsive to our concerns, we'd be pleased to hear from you.
Thank you, Chairman Rest, and members of the committee. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your terribly busy schedule to hear us.
You do need to identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you. I'm Chris Sanda. I live in Blaine. I represent District 10 of the Metropolitan Council. I was first elected to the, or appointed to the Metropolitan Council in 2005. And before that, I had about a 25-year career in Minnesota state government in various commissioner positions. I was appreciative of your questions having to do with transit. While I've lived in Anoka County, I've been a member of the North Star Rail Authority Promotion Group. I'm a member of what's called the Anoka Ambassadors, and part of our responsibility was to go around to not only elected but appointed officials in various communities to talk about the merits of the North Star. And I'm very delighted that so far so good, things are on track, and I think we're going to be able to actually ride the North Star in 2009. And I'm really looking forward to that. I'm a supporter of the Central Corridor. I'm a supporter of light rail. I have taken my children and some of my grandchildren on the light rail, and I love to get on by Fort Snelling and go down as far as the Metrodome, and sometimes I even go between the two airports, between the Lindbergh Terminal and the downtown terminals. If I have an opportunity to abandon the car, I try to do that. I think a couple of things come to mind as I sit here as a confirmee potential. Many times when people are asked to come to committees like this, we wonder what you're going to ask us about. I am delighted that you're focusing on transportation. And the override that occurred when the legislature overrode the veto, I think was a welcome override. I even called some of the members that participated in the override, Tingelsted and Abler, and said thank you. As a moderate Republican, I want to thank you for your leadership, because the people need public transportation. We need better roads. We were at an impasse. And the pressure from the public and the response of this legislature, I think, has been good. That's not the party line. But I think many of us in public life understand that you have to stand up for what you believe in, and you have to stand up for what the public wants. 20 years ago, when we started on E85, when I was the Commissioner of Public Service, I was criticized then by some of the people in the farming and the city community for promoting a product called E85. And I said, no, anything that we can do to not only boost the farmers' income, but to help our situation as far as not being dependent on Middle East fuel is exactly what we need to do. And looking back on that, I see how many other decisions I could have made had I gone with the hydrogen cars and the other types of alternative fuels that were just a pipe dream at that time. The other thing I wanted to comment about is that I'm not on the Transportation Committee of the Met Council. I wish I was, but I'm not. I'm working with Roger Shearer on the Management Committee. I'm also on the Community Development Committee.
What is the Management Committee's responsibility?
Thank you, Chairman Rest. Basically, we look at not only the investments, but the budget for the Metropolitan Council. We deal with all of the contracts with the various unions. We have more than 3,000 employees in approximately 12 to 14 unions. So we work with their contracts as well. We also look at the day-to-day operation of the Met Council and the types of things that would normally come before an administrative body.
Any other comments or questions?
I can personally vouch that Commissioner Sanda has a lot of contacts with the community, because I see her a lot, you know, in function, but maybe she wants to comment on that one too.
Well, thank you, Senator Betzel. Yes, I try to go to as many city council meetings as I can. I belong to the I-35 Coalition. I go to the local elected officials group, as Roger does, and we do our very best to be responsive to city council people as well as mayors, because that's where the real work is getting done at the local communities. Our latest interaction was on the park and ride expansion. at the 95th exit off 35, where we're going through a property purchase situation, and it's been difficult. So I've been working with Blaine leadership on that.
Any further questions or additional comments from the members? Senator Betzel.
Madam Chair, I'm pleased to move the appointment of my constituent, Chris Sanda. He recommended the Senate for confirmation.
Senator Betzel has moved that the committee recommend that the appointment of Chris Sanda to the Metropolitan Council be confirmed. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you.
Your service. We're going to move to, awaiting Ms. Lepik's arrival, we'll move to the two appointments that we have for the Racing Commission. We promised not to ask you about transportation, unless you want to comment. Jesse Overton. Welcome to the committee. If you would identify yourself, please, for the record. If you would talk a little bit about your background and your interests and things that are going on now at the Racing Commission.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. My name is Jesse Overton. I live in West Bloomington. I've been a resident of the state since 1968. My background started many years ago working at Honeywell, and where I was promoted in sales positions and eventually ended up as a group vice president working for Honeywell Bull Company Machine Bull. Over the years, I've had the pleasure to work in civic and make a civic contribution, donating time to various organizations such as the Animal Humane Society of Hennepin County. I had the pleasure of being appointed by Governor Perpich as the first chair of the Minnesota Job Skills Partnership, and I've also had the pleasure of serving as an appointee of Governor Perpich to the Public Defense Board. Over the years, watching the development of horse racing in Minnesota has not only been interesting, but I had an opportunity at the very early stages to participate as a volunteer heading up a fair share program for the national NAACP. And what was very interesting at that time was that Minnesota was new to the thoroughbred industry, and more particularly, it was an opportunity to do something that hadn't been done right in the United States, and that was equal opportunity and equal employment. We're very proud in Minnesota of what has accomplished with thoroughbred racing and the support the legislature has provided this industry, which supports our agribusinesses as well as stimulates agricultural opportunities in Minnesota. I consider it an honor to give back some of my time to the state and to be a part of the regulation as well as maintaining the integrity and the quality of racing and looking after the public interest of those who participate in this industry.
Are there questions or comments for Mr. Overton? I'm sorry if you said this. I was looking at your background materials. You've been on the Racing Commission for how long?
About 4 months, is that correct?
You're a new appointee.
That's
I just
correct.
Want to make sure that we've heard from the members of the Met Council that they were recurring appointments. We want to make sure that members know that your appointment began, or our letter from the governor is effective September 10th, and your term expires June 30th, 2013. Are there questions? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have Senator Kirk in my district, and they've had a little bit of a tough year in this past year, I guess, and I'm just wondering what you think about the future of horse racing in Minnesota, and if there's anything that we could do to encourage or help them along as they try and develop both the new track, the harness racing track, and the existing track to make sure that they have an opportunity to thrive.
Mr. Overton.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Roebling. it is true that thoroughbred racing in Minnesota is competing with other entities for entertainment dollars, in particular in the parimutuel wagering area, competing with the casinos. What's kind of interesting is that I believe that our laws with respect to interstate commerce, and particularly use of the internet, need to have a thorough review, because many persons can bet from their homes, and none of that revenue would end up going through Canterbury or through the new Running Aces facility. Long term, we need to look at how to increase the purse structures so that the quality of racing can be maintained at the highest possible level, and of course continue to provide many of the jobs that would not be available to young people on a part-time basis as well as an industry-wide basis. If we look at new Running Aces, they're going to interview about 310 persons that will be employed there shortly. They're going to have the same problem. How do you increase the quality of racing if you cannot increase the purse structure? And again, we're going to need to look at how the internet plays into that, as well as other forms of wagering that could provide more money for purse structures.
Yeah. Senator Betzel?
Madam Chair, with Mr. Overton, the new track, harness racing track, just opened Columbus Township. Have you had any opportunity to kind of see how that's going, evaluate, you know, what we should be watching for there?
Mr. Overton?
Madam Chair, Senator Betzel, yes. I've had occasion, both my wife and I, to go out at least five times. And it's a very nice facility. The investment is substantial. The problem is that they're new bettors, and it's a different breed of racing. And from my observation, it will take 3 to 5 years to develop the harness business. In the interim, I think the card playing facility will help offset some of those revenues, but it's going to take 3 to 5 years for that business structure to get well-rooted in that community.
Any other questions? Senator Bickerman.
I want to compliment you on some other things that you've done. You're taking care of job skills, bridge runaway. There's more to this than just racing. Somebody has to get to the young kids to keep on track, and I'm glad to see that that you were a member, a past member of that. I move this confirmation. I used to be in that committee. I'll move it.
Senator Betzel moves that. Senator Bickerman moves that the appointment of Jesse Overton to the Racing Commission be confirmed. Is there further discussion on that motion, or do other members have comments? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Mr. Overton.
Thank you very much.
Our additional appointment to the Racing Commission is Colonel Pooler, if I pronounced your name correctly, resident of Eden Prairie. Welcome to the committee. If you would give us a little bit about your background, and I think also Senator Roebling's question was right on point of the things that this committee is interested in, so if you'd care to comment about that, and also any observations you have about the new racetrack.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name's Colonel Bueller. I live in Eden Prairie. I moved to Minnesota from Oregon in 1981 and have found Minnesota to be a great place to live and raise my family. I worked for the Minnesota Vikings for 19 years. My background is in sales and marketing. I've also worked in some of the hospitality industries and have worked for the Minnesota Twins again in a sales position. I also own a small insurance business with another partner, and those are my current projects. I was interested in serving the state and looking for a way to do that, having grown up on a horse ranch and being from a kind of a sales and marketing entertainment business. I thought that serving on the commission for the Racing Commission would be a nice place for me to maybe get involved and provide service to the state and broaden my horizons a little bit. As it relates to transportation, horses at one point in our country were very key to that. So if that hopefully that ties in today and answers your questions.
At least for most of us.
Still, I think horses are still important, an important industry, horse racing, and what we have going on there. I've been very impressed with the staff. They've been very supportive of helping get me up to speed on what's going on. And
sure, it's a new appointment as well.
Yes, I am new, and I'm still learning and learning a lot, but very impressed with the regulation and the process that goes into this. Probably much more involved than I had anticipated. As it relates to some of your questions about what we can do to support the business, I think Commissioner Overton, you know, address some of the key issues with anything we can do to grow the purses would certainly help grow the business. Keeping up to date with the technology and what's going on in the internet gaming is also key. I think we'll do that. Another thing I think that's probably hurt the business a little bit of Canterbury has been the smoking regulations and guidelines that have been put into place. I think that's something that they're going to have to learn to deal with. Their business is off, but that's not probably new news to you. You've heard that from other entities as well. So I'm pleased to be here today and hopefully to begin my service on the Racing Commission.
Senator Betzel.
Madam Chair, Mr. Buehler, I've got a question that has absolutely nothing to do with your service on the commission, but I am curious, what does an NFL instant replay communicator do?
We sweat a lot during the game, Senator. One way for me to stay connected with the NFL after I left the Vikings was to work on the instant replay crew. So I sit with two real officials during the game in the booth, and I communicate with the television truck as to what's going on. And I also am the official timer, so that when you see the official put his head under the hood, I start the 60-second clock and count that down for the two gentlemen that are actually doing the replays. So I've been that, I think, now for 7 years. And it's like being in the ER room. When everything is nice and quiet, it's fine. But when that flag goes out, it's you never know what you're going to get involved in, because each situation is different.
I wonder, Mr. Buehler, if you'd comment a little bit more about your vision for the new track and how that's going to how you think that's going to affect the economy of metropolitan areas.
Well, I think it's something that is unfolding that really have to stay up to speed with and see how it goes. I mean, anytime you yes, and it's a beautiful facility. I think the people who are operating the facility have good background, good vision, but with any new entity, you can do a business plan, do projections, and you have to be able to adapt to what's going on around it. You know, right now we're dealing with the economy. Of course, there were the unknowns of the geographic location, et cetera, the new adding the standardbreds to the thoroughbred racing. But I think they're off to a good start. You know, some of the, I think the wagering isn't as heavy as had been anticipated early on. So I think it's something that we have to really monitor and keep an eye on.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering about Minnesota bred horses. In both racetracks, I'm wondering if we've held our own for the thoroughbreds and what kind of an increase is being talked about for the other track, for the Pacers. I have, you know, concerns that if we can't keep the purses up, we certainly won't be attracting from other states as many owners with their horses, and so are we keeping up our own Minnesota bred, or how can we encourage that?
Well, the purses, as you say, will encourage that, and that was a topic of a lot of discussion, you know, before all the final approvals were made by the commission. I think the Minnesota Bread group have shown up and shown great interest in this participation. The people who've been hired to work at the track, to run the track, are working hard to get horses from other states to come in. They feel pretty confident that they're able to do that. It's very early in the process to see how, you know, if that can be sustained or not. But again, I think it's just something that has to, you know, these are situations that you just have to, you know, you have to watch on a monthly basis, weekly basis, and stay in tune with. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that's impressed me with being on the commission is that there is a lot more to this and a lot more discussion. It's not just showing up at a meeting and saying yes to or no to what's on the table. There's a lot of discussion and a lot of observation, and I think the staff and crew there are trying to stay up to speed with just those things.
Is there further discussion or questions from Mr. Bueller?
Madam Chair, just as an aside, Mr. Gowan just pointed out that the statute does require a balance of political
funds. I was going to ask Mr. Gruber about that.
Which we do seem to have, but that's what the committee would have.
I was going to ask you to come forward just to confirm that and the makeup of the commission. Is there further comment or question from Mr. Bueller? Seeing none, Senator Bickerman moves that the committee recommend that the appointment of Colonel Bueller to the Racing Commission be confirmed. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
We would like to hear about the Racing Commission's makeup.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Dick Kruger, the Executive Director of the Racing Commission.
Would you just give us we know that we have 16 members of the Met Council. How many members are there on the Racing Commission? Just to bring us back up to speed on that, and what is the requirement for political balance, and how is that currently being met?
Madam Chair, there are 9 commissioners. That is by statute. They all serve 6-year terms, so you get 2-3 new commissioners every other year, or reappointments of incumbent commissioners. The statute does indicate that there cannot be more than 5 from one political party on the commission. And I'll have to apologize, Madam Chair. I'm not sure of the numbers, but I do know that we work with the governor's office, just to remind the appointment secretary of that balance, and I do believe we do not have more than 5 from one political party. But I can't give you the exact.
I think that we've been assured of that as well, but I think it also needs just to be affirmed publicly, and perhaps before we bring up these appointments, we'll just make sure that that's on the Senate floor, that indeed is the case. And it seems Mr. Bueller is a Republican, and Mr. Overton put his political party preference as a Democrat. So at least there's one and one there.
And as Madam Chair,
yes.
The other one we did not take up today expressed no party preference. So.
Yeah, and that person couldn't be here. So thank you very much. I'm not sure about, for some reason, Ms. Lepik is not able to be here.
Madam Chair, is that final, or is she still on her way?
We can't get a hold of her.
I know I saw her yesterday, and she communicated to me that she was here.
I think what I may do then, because we may have other recesses today, is to recess this committee right now, and instead of adjourning it, so that at some point we could get back together, even a few of us, to, I mean, Ms. Lepic is very familiar, I think, to most of us.
Right.
We could get back together and take her testimony, and or we could get back together and just adjourn the committee. So with the committee's permission, what I will do now is recess the committee, and we'll let you know if we find Ms. Lepic or she finds us to get back together to consider her appointment. So at this point, thank you very much, everyone, for attending, and we stand in recess.
Okay. Cool.
Oh my gosh.